Good morning and welcome to our site. In our service this morning in our church in Fishhook, Cape Town, we are centering the entire service around communion, around Holy Communion, or as some would call it, the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Table. And so I will be describing and illustrating the Passover meal and the institution of the communion service as we know it today, the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Table. So I cannot do that on the site, but what I would like to do is simply invite you to hear the Word of God as I share with you our Bible readings for this morning, and then a few comments about the indescribable blessing of communion. Our first Bible reading is found in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, chapter 12, and it is the background of the Passover meal. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people that are there. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw, cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." What an event that was that followed. When God saw the suffering of his people, now in bondage in Egypt, this little group of 70 people, the children of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel after a stunning encounter with God, and now they had grown to a number of probably about 1.5 to 2 million in number. And so God sends 10 plagues upon Egypt, each one a calculated judgment against the gods of Egypt. In the final plague, the worst of them all, the angel of death was to pass over the land, and the firstborn of all males, man and beast, would be slain. In order to be saved from this destruction of the firstborn in Egypt, from the angel of death, every Israelite family, as we read, was to take a 1-year-old male lamb or goat and keep that for 14 days. After 2 weeks, that lamb, that sheep or goat, would become theirs in a special way. And then, on that fateful night, they were to slaughter it and then cook it in the prescribed manner, roasted, and eat it with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. And they would take some of the blood of the sacrificed lamb and sprinkle it on the doorposts and lintels of their home. God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And that's exactly what happened on that night. There was, of course, much weeping and wailing and sorrow throughout Egypt. but God instructed his people to eat that meal in haste, and then, as it were, to tuck up their togas and to get going, and they were to march to the Red Sea. The armies of Israel, of Egypt rather, pursued them. The pillar of God, a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, led this massive Israelite community until they reached the edge of the Red Sea. And then the pillar of cloud moved behind them and separated them from the armies of Pharaoh that were pursuing them. And so God then asked Moses to lift up his staff. This was an ordinary staff that at once was the staff of Moses, the shepherd. But having handed it to God, it now became the staff of God in his hand. And so Moses lifted up the staff, and God parted the waters of the Red Sea, so that the Israelites could cross over on dry ground. And once they had gone across, when the armies of Pharaoh sought to do the same, they were drowned. Fast forward to the last Passover that Jesus observed with his disciples in an upper room that had been prepared. On the way, the disciples were arguing about who might be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. When they reached the upper room, which had been prepared for the Passover meal, there was no servant for the customary washing of the feet. The basin was there, and the towel, and the jug of water. And Peter probably should have been the one who should have washed the feet of Jesus and of the other disciples, but neither he nor John nor any of the others did that menial duty. And so Jesus himself took off his outer robe and put water into the basin and then washed the disciples' feet. When they had eaten the Passover meal, Jesus then instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper, or the Lord's Table, or Holy Communion. He took the bread, unleavened bread in this case, on the Passover table, lifted up and said, "From now on, this bread is going to represent my body. This is my body, which is given for you." And when they had eaten, he took the cup, no doubt the cup of redemption, lifted up and said, "This cup is the new covenant now in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, at the end of that commemoration and celebration of Passover, the Lord Jesus instituted for his people the communion service, the bread representing the body of Christ that would be given the next day, crucified on the cross of Calvary outside Jerusalem, the cup of wine representing the precious blood of Christ that would be shed for our salvation on the cross. When this had been done, they sang a hymn and made their way into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot and taken to 6 mock trials. Well, they were not really mock trials, but they were a mockery of justice, if ever there was one. 3 religious trials, and then when dawn broke, before the Sanhedrin and then before Pilate and Herod, 3 civil trials. And you know the outcome of that Jesus was delivered up to be crucified. He took up his cross and then voluntarily laid down his life for us on the cross, allowing his body to be nailed to the cross, allowing his blood to be shed for us. Then Jesus, after 6 hours, cried out, "It is finished. The debt is fully paid." His head dropped forward to his chest. He breathed his last, saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." As you know, Jesus' body was later taken down from the cross and placed in Joseph's tomb, where never had a dead body been yet laid. And so Jesus, although poor in his life, was buried to fulfill Scripture in a rich man's grave. Then came Sunday, the first day of the week, and the race to the tomb, the discovery that the tomb was empty, and the resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus, appearing first of all to Mary Magdalene, a woman out of whom he had cast 7 demons. How wonderful of God that he chose a woman to be the first missionary, in a sense, the first one to share the good news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and he is Lord. That evening, 2 disciples were on the road to Emmaus, very dejected, and we take up that reading in the Gospel of Luke, if you'd like to turn there. In Luke chapter 24, we read now that on that same day, 2 of them were going to a village called Emmaus. This is verse 13, Luke 24. About 7 miles from Jerusalem, they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the 3rd day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Listen to this. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then the 2 told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Friend, the verse I want to leave with you as we move into this new year of 2022 is the second part of verse 15 of Luke chapter 24. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Here's God's word for you this year. Jesus himself, no other, not some religious guru, not some church father or apostle or prophet. No, Jesus himself, the Lord Jesus, God the Son, from all eternity, who became truly man, the one who died and rose again for our salvation, Jesus himself draws near to you. He draws near. He draws near to all those who draw near to him. He draws near to those who talk about him as they walk along the way. Jesus himself draws near to you. And he wants to walk with you through this year. Good, better, best. How good Jesus himself But even better, Jesus draws near, and better still, best, he goes with you into this new year. Here's your word for 2022. And Jesus is revealed as he gives thanks for the bread. The guest becomes the host in that Emmaus home. The bread speaks to us of the body of Jesus. The cup speaks to us of his precious blood shed for us. The Apostle Paul says, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that on the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. And he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat of it, all of you. This is my body, which is for you. And after supper he took the cup, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Friend, every time we do that, and we are to do this regularly, Jesus himself draws near and goes with us. What a blessing as we move into 2022. The Lord Jesus himself says, Lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. Friend, five things made the disciples joyful, faithful, and fearless. And these same five things should cause us to be joyful, faithful, and fearless as we go into 2022. Number one, Jesus is a risen Savior. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Jesus is a risen Savior. Number two, he is in control. He is a sovereign Lord who is at work in everything for our good as we love him, trust him, and follow him through another year. And then thirdly, he is present with us and working with us as a perfect shepherd, leading, feeding, protecting. This year, the Lord Jesus wants to be your shepherd in an intimate relationship. He will lead you to green pastures and quiet waters. He will restore your soul. He will lead you in the right path for his name's sake. Even though you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need fear no evil, for he will be with you. His rod and staff will comfort you. He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He will anoint your head with oil. Your cup will overflow. His goodness and mercy will flank you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is a risen Savior. Jesus is in control, at work in everything for the good of those who love him, and he is present with us as the shepherd that we need. Fourthly, when he ascended back to heaven, the disciples were assured of his return to reign. In just the same way we observe this Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, we break bread together and drink from the cup until he comes. We look forward to his return to reign. He came the first time to be our Savior. He comes the second time to judge all people and then to reign for ever and ever. And we shall reign with him if we have received him as our Lord and Savior, Redeemer and King. Fifthly, if the disciples died before his return, they would be better off, absent from the body, present with the Lord, which is better by far. These same five things will sustain us, fill us with joy, help us to be faithful and fearless in 2022. Jesus is our risen Savior. He is in control, at work in everything for our good. He is present with us as our shepherd. His goodness and love will flank us all the days of our life. We need fear no evil. And with his ascended glory, when he returns, we can be assured that he returns to receive us to himself for that place that he's prepared for us to reign with him forever and ever. And so, if we die before he returns, we'll be better off anyway, absent from the body, present with the Lord in glory. These are the truths that we call to mind as we break bread together until he comes. Until then, we too rejoice and persevere, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, where he ever lives to intercede for us. Friend, Jesus himself draws near to you, and he goes with you. May the Lord bless you abundantly in 2022. Let us pray. Our loving Father, we thank you that you have given to us this simple feast of remembrance, just the elements of bread and wine that were found on every Jewish table. And thank you that through the breaking of the bread, we can remember your body broken for us on the cross. And thank you that as we take the cup, we can remember that you laid down your life for us and that you allowed your precious blood to be shed. You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us, and so we keep the feast. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will in this year that lies ahead, to the glory of our God and Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Crucified, they began.
us, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.